Thank you very much, Tanya. Shall I do a roll call for you, Ron?
Please, madam. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the SCI call on the 17th of December. And on the call, we have Sintra Sukhnanan, Jennifer Wolf, Wolf Ulrich Knoben, Ken Bauer, Ron Andrus, our chair, Angie Graves, and Thomas Rickert. For staff, we have Mary Wong, Julie Headland, and myself, Glenn DeSangerie. We have apologies from Avery. And on the Adobe Connect room, we have Marie-Laure Lemigneur, who is not on the bridge. And I do not see anyone else.
So and Glenn, Marie-Laure has requested a dial out. She's going to send you a note.
Pleasure. I'll do that straight away, Julie.
Thank you.
And may I ask you, please, or remind you to say your name before you speak for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Ron.
Thank you very much, Glenn. This is Ron Andruff from the BC and chair of the SCI, for the record. Lovely to see everyone on the list, and particularly as we are right around the corner from the holiday season. So thank you for making time today, everyone, to come on and do some of our busy work. So the first item on the agenda after the roll call was statements of interest. So I'll ask if anyone has had any changes since we've last met to their statements of interest. Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item. And the next item on the list is the approval of the agenda. So the agenda here is on the Adobe Connect room on the right-hand side of the screen. It was sent out earlier, so I trust that you've all seen it. And I would ask if anyone has any comments about the agenda and would like to add anything to AOB, any other business at this time. All right, and hearing none, we'll now state that the agenda has been approved, and we'll move on to item number 4, which is the chair and vice chair elections. And on the screen, what you're seeing is the, I believe, the charter elements of the what our vice chair and chair elections call for. Information was circulated by Julie, and I'm grateful for that, and for having sent around all of the information with regard to the elections and how things will proceed. I had noted that I would be happy to stay on as your chair for another year, which would then bring me to the end of my term, or my term limit. And Avery, as she has so many other activities on her table and is now our new liaison to the GNSO Council, has affirmed that she will not be running. So I would perhaps turn to Julie to ask if there's been some vice chair nominations as well as chair nominations going forward. Julie?
Thank you, Ron. This is Julie Headland. I have seen no nominations for chair or vice chair on the list. I haven't received any others otherwise. I would ask Glenn, has anybody in the secretariat noted any nominations for chair or vice chair that I may have missed?
No, I have not seen any, Julie.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
The only thing that I have seen is that Mikey O'Connor has resigned from the group.
Thank you, Glenn. In fact, I was going to speak to Mikey in a moment. But speaking with regard to the election, Julie, is there anything I left off in my introduction of the election that might be important that should be included in the record?
Not that I can see. As you all note on the Adobe Connect, the chair has the option of announcing intention to stay on as chair if his or her term, if she or she is not term limited, which Ron is not, and as Ron noted, Avery has stepped down from vice chair. I have not seen any other volunteers or nominations for chair or for vice chair. So if there are none, according to the procedures, if there is only one candidate for either position, there would be no need for an election. But I think that there would still be a desire to have members of the SEI affirm, the chair. In this case, it would be Ron in that position if there are no other volunteers. If there are no volunteers for vice chair, there would be no need for an election there. If there is one volunteer, then we would ask, I think, the SEI to affirm that that person would be vice chair.
So let me ask one question. We have a. I'm just seeing the Adobe Connect room, and I'm seeing we're about 6 or 7, 8 people from the committee. Do we have enough people on the call to make this determination?
I don't think that the procedures speak to that, Ron. This is Julie. But I see that Mary has her hand up.
Yes, thank you. Mary, please go ahead.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Julie. And I'm not going to have a specific answer, but Ron, as you note, there are a number of people on the call. I just wonder if it might be easier for the SCI to, as Julie says, affirm things, perhaps if not today, then say by the end of the week, to confirm, you know, perhaps either yourself as chair or to come out a nominee at least for vice chair. And I don't know if anyone on the call wants to speak to that, as to whether or not they would need to consult with the groups that they represent and whether they've done so or not. But I do think that perhaps it would be helpful to have a date set for when you want to formally close nominations on the understanding that each representative has the proper instruction from his or her group, should they be representing one on this committee.
Thank you, Mary. I see Wolf Ulrich, and then I have a comment. I'll put myself in the queue. Wolf.
Yes, thank you. Wolf Ulrich speaking. With regards to the chair election, so I would suggest, well, we just have one candidate, so it's standing again. So we could go forward today and ask for confirmation. I think that would be one step. So to be firm that he can continue for that. That would be my proposal. With regards to vice chair, my proposal would be, to ask, since the SCI is reflecting the GNSO structure in having all stakeholder groups available as first and second members here. So, and since Ron is one member representing the commercial stakeholder group here, so I would like to see if that is possible to find a vice chair from another stakeholder group, which is not. The rules are not saying that in that direction, but it would be good from my point of view to have one somebody from another stakeholder group. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. You took the words right out of my mouth. That was my so I was next in the queue, and I was about to say exactly that. I think that if we could, I think we can all agree then that. There's one candidate for the chair, and if we can affirm that, as Mary suggested, that would be good. That's one step. But the second step is probably more important, and it has to do with balance. And I agree with everything you've just said, Wolf Ulrich, so I support that that idea of someone coming from the non-commercial stakeholder group if possible. Sintra, please, you're recognized.
Thank you, Ron. This is Sintra. If there's no difficulty with an alternate representative being the vice chair of the working group, I would like to put my name forward for the vice chair position. I am the alternate representative from the NPOC, which is part of the NCSG. Thank you.
Thank you, Cintra. For some reason, I've fallen off the Adobe, and I'm going to get back on, but perhaps Julie can guide me in my blindness. Are there other people who'd like to speak?
This is Julie. Ron, I also was kicked off.
Me too. I may have been as well.
So I think that was just a general fault with Adobe Connect. I'm just letting people back on right now. I see it also kicked off several people. So people are just gradually getting back into the room.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Cintra, for putting your name forward. The other one of the – I would just also like to point out we have Jennifer Wolf, who is a non-com appointee, and Jennifer would be – oh, sorry, I'm hearing echo. 1 second. Okay, my speakers are muted. And Jennifer Wolf, as a non-com appointee, I'm not sure if she has an ability to participate or not. Mary, your hand is up.
Yes, Ron, and first let me clarify that obviously I wasn't trying to hold things up with my earlier comment. I just wanted to be sure that in all cases that, you know, when the SCI is comfortable with moving forward with an affirmation or an election, as the case may be, that if they're representing specific constituencies or stakeholder groups, that is something that they are comfortable with as a representative of that group. Secondly, as to balance, I guess you could achieve balance a couple of ways. I think one perspective is that from the commercial stakeholder group, those are representatives of business interests as are contracted parties, and that would argue for a vice chair, hopefully from the non-commercial stakeholder group. At the same time, we could also look at balance as between the two houses, contracted and non-contracted. And again, I say that just to not discourage anybody. Thirdly, with respect to Cintra's comment, the charter here speaks to primary members rather than alternates being eligible to run for a chair or a vice chair position. I don't believe that there is a language there about waivers, but it may be that should the SCI wish to waive that rule in any one instance, that may be something that you can request of the council. But as it stands, I believe the charter is somewhat clear in that regard.
That's helpful. Thank you very much, Mary. So I think then just to move this on, we have a lot of other topics we want to cover during this call. If we could, having heard what Mary said, and if the members agree, then I would suggest that we would ask for an affirmation of the chair at this moment to continue, and that checks that box, and then we would look to invite members to one last call for nominations. And if we don't see other nominations, then we might indeed look to get a charter revision, even though we've just finished it, from the council to allow Cintra to take up that position as she's expressed an interest to do so. Is there anyone that feels contrary to what I've just suggested? Mary, I see your hand, please.
Yes, Ron, thank you. And I turned away for a brief period, so I apologize if I'm repeating what you just said. Just to clarify, so if you keep the nomination period for vice chair open for a certain period, and then if there's no other nominations, the SCI would ask the council to agree to appoint an alternate as vice chair for the next year. Did I get that right?
That was where I was going with it, exactly, that we have a volunteer, but our current charter does not allow for that individual, so we will be asking for a waiver. So having said that then, so I'm not sure. I think I need to step aside to allow the affirmation to happen. This is such a procedural element. I'm out of my ken. Perhaps Julie, Mary, or Glenn could explain how we go forward for this affirmation. Chair.
This is Julie. Since the there is no language in the charter. I think we could simply ask people to use the up or down button, the check mark button, if they are affirming, if they are in the Adobe Connect room. I think all a little bit out of water on this, since there is no language to speak to it in the charter. But I know in other cases, simply having people affirm either verbally or using the check mark would be one way to do it. I don't know, Mary, if you have anything you want to add, or Glenn.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Julie.
Yeah,
Julie, and
that makes sense.
Okay, so then let's do that then. I'd ask anyone who would like to confirm that I stay in the chair to please use the check mark, and those that would rather I not, use the X mark. All right. Thank you all very much for your gracious support. And I will say,
Ron,
yes, please.
Ron, this is Thomas. I just wanted to let you know that if I weren't an alternate and if I had the opportunity to say yes to you, I would have done so. So congratulations.
Thank you, Thomas. Very kind. Very gracious. Thank you all. And so we check that. That's behind us. And then we will look. We've got this Christmas week upon us, but...
Ron, excuse me. This is Julie Hedlund. I'm sorry. I see that Greg Chatan just joined the Adobe Connect room. Greg, are you also on the teleconference? I didn't know if he wanted an opportunity to also add his check mark, but I don't think that that's necessarily procedurally necessary, but just noted that he joined.
Thank you, Julie. If Greg would like me to step down, he's welcome to write into the chat box, step down. but I think we have a large enough number of us to go forward. So let's do that. And now I was starting to say, with this, we're now on Tuesday, just before Christmas, and I'm not sure how many people's attention we're going to get now regarding this election. But if everyone is in agreement with this idea that by Friday of this week we'll ask Julie to send out a message in capital letters in the subject line, please confirm that you are in agreement to have Cintra participate as the vice chair if no other primary candidate steps forward between now and Friday. And if we were to do that, then if another candidate stepped forward that was a primary and was only one, then they would be affirmed on our next call. If, in fact, there were two, we would be holding an election before our next call. Does anyone have any disagreement with that? Cintra, please, go ahead.
Thanks, Ron. This is Cintra. There was a bit of discussion as there being balance with regard to the CSG and the non-contracted or that kind of thing. Should that also be part of that message going out, that preference would be given to those primary representatives who come from that other side?
That would be, I think in the explanation, Julie could note that the members, during the call, the members supported the idea of a balanced approach. However, there's nothing in the charter or the bylaws that force us to go that way, but we did support that way forward. I think that's a very good idea. And thank you, Mary, for noting in the chat that the next council meeting is on the 23rd of January. I would think that our meeting would be approximately a week or so before, maybe earlier. We'll sort that out. But if that's the case, that would give us the opportunity then to go to council and get that approved. Great. All right, then. If everyone's in agreement with that, we'll move on to the next element. And our dear friend Ken Bauer, who's been working very hard on our self-assessment, is on the call. And Ken, I would like to throw the talking stick to you, my friend. Please.
This is Ken. Thank you very much, Ron. Everyone can hear me all right?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted anybody to say something. I think that I only have just a very short comment. We were asked to reset the working group self-assessment questionnaire and redo it as though it had not been done before. And so I set it up that way. Mikey, I believe, sent a message to all of the members of the team, and I can report to you that as of right this second, there have been 2 completed responses. The second element was to see if we could get more feedback from individuals about the process itself rather than commenting about the effectiveness of the working group itself. And on the matter of the feedback, we did get one additional comment. It's short. I'll just read it. And it's public, so it came from Amr. I agree with Tim. Tim Ruiz had also submitted a prior comment, which basically said he thought that the survey was fine. Amr said, I agree with Tim. I added comments, but only to elaborate my choices and answers. All in all, I believe that these questions, if answered regularly following the conclusion of the work of every group, should provide a fine assessment of the inputs, outputs, participation of the working group members. The questions were clear and easy to answer and took very little time to go through. Paren, about 20 minutes, including comments. And, Ron, that's all I have to report, unfortunately, at the moment.
Well, that's fine, Ken. I know for those who are relatively new to the SCI, we have been working on this for some time, and it's actually was tested with Mikey's working group in a period when they had quite a bit of work on their table, but we did have a number of responses. And then we went back and said, would you just go back one more time and give us some more responses? I almost take the lack of response as a sign that the form itself and the work that's been done is sufficient. Often people just get very busy, and if they have something to complain about, they're the first ones to start writing an email. But if you're not hearing any complaints, I think that we're moving in the right direction. So for my part, I'm very pleased with the work that you've done, and Mikey being the ultimate working group member, and I mentioned earlier, it was mentioned earlier that he's now left the SCI because of all of his other commitments. I would just like to say a public thank you to him for the record, because he was and continues to be a very diligent worker in the labor team of ICANN. He was very pleased with this working group self-assessment, and he's a guy that's a real stickler. I myself was as well, and I think we're at a point where if we all agree, we could send this over to the GNSO Council and say, we've got this assessment. We would like to see this assessment included at the time that a working group is chartered, so that it will actually undertake this activity simultaneous to the work they're doing. And what it is a real measurement of the quality of the working group, the quality of the chairmanship of the working group, and the quality of the output from the working group. And the idea is really to give ICANN and the community at large a better set of metrics as to how well we're doing at our job. We're now 15 years old, so I think of it as a 15-year-old child, not quite ready to drive the car, but pretty well, you know, standing on his own 2 feet. So let me throw open the floor for some discussion about this before I suggest we send it on. So please, anyone have comments or thoughts, bring them to the table now. Amr, please.
Thanks, Ron. This is Amr. You kind of mentioned it, but when this when the request to fill out the self-assessment had originally gone to the working group, it was in a bit of a strange time for the working group, and it was unlikely that anyone would fill it out then. And then when it went back for a second time, the request to fill out the self-assessment for the working group, I guess folks had pretty much moved on to other working groups and more work. I agree with you that it's a relatively good indicator. If you are interested in delaying conveying this message to the council a little bit longer, we could try to get a few more responses. I can't promise that you will get any, but I was a member of this working group as well, and I really would have liked to see more people fill out the assessment. I think it was a really good one, and I would have liked to get some positive feedback on it. But I leave it to everyone else to decide. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. Anyone else have some comments or thoughts, particularly on whether we should ship this over to the GNSO Council? I assume at that point they will do their own work. The Council will do its own work with regard to being satisfied or tailoring it in a way that they would be more satisfied with. So, Ken, you may well have more conference calls on this with the Council. Julie, I see your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Ron. This is Julie Hedlund. I think that one thing that this group will need to consider when this is sent to the Council is that I believe that the working group guidelines would have to be modified to include language about the requirement for taking this survey when a working group completes its work. Right now, there's no language in the guidelines that you know pertains specifically to this survey or to you know taking this particular assessment. So I think that there'll probably have to be a marked up version of the guidelines that the SEI would look at and agree that language is acceptable, and then probably the whole package would go over to the Council along with a motion that whereby the you know the Council would approve the survey and also the accompanying changes to the working group guidelines pertaining to the survey. So I think there's actually perhaps a bit more work that needs to be done on this. And the other thing that I would mention is I guess I would agree with Amar that it would be nice if we could get a few more responses to this survey now that people are done with the work. And I also might suggest that given that the survey notice went out to people just before the start of, you know, the busyness of the holidays, it might be worthwhile giving people, you know, a chance to respond after the holiday rush. But, of course, I'll defer to the SEI members on that matter.
Hey, Ron, this is Ken. I'd like to address a few of those points whenever it's convenient.
Please, Ken, take the floor.
Okay, great. Yeah, Julie's absolutely right, but she might not be remembering. This was a long time ago. I actually did go through the GNSO operating procedures and the working group guidelines. I marked up all of the language, and I made a recommendation to the SEI as to how this would all be packaged to give to the Council. That was a while ago, and that's in the archives or in the backdrop of our list. So I can certainly find that message, drag it back out, and put it so that it's up at the top. The my recommendation would be that in the package to the Council, in addition to the language changes to the working group guidelines and the GNSO operating procedures, and they're you know redlined, we would give them the report that I already created. Not so much to be thought of as this is the definitive thinking of the working group members of the Thick Who Is group, but it is, we did ask that group for opinions. 8 people did respond in the first iteration. We did analyze and summarize those results. And they do give you a picture, a framework, an understanding of what this would look like going forward had the timing been better. But at least gives you a picture of what this would look like in the implementation phase. I don't think it's useful at this point to just keep asking the Thick Who Is group repetitively to keep filling out the survey. We gave it one last try. We got to. At this point, I would say. It's probably not a good idea to just keep hammering that group at this point. Those are my thoughts on the subject.
Thank you, Ken. And thank you for reminding us that you had done all of that work in the past, and so we have it at our fingertips. That's excellent. I'm going to fall on the side of you as well as the chair that this is ready to ship. we've tasked that group significantly in Amr with respect to your desire, and also Julie, to see a few more people come in. As Ken said, and I believe, and if it hasn't been so, that your report, Ken, should have been circulated to the entire SCI. I know I saw it. Mikey saw it as a chair of his, of that group, the working group. But it's quite a detailed report that Ken's mentioned. So, Julie, if we haven't already done that, let's please send out the report that Ken did to the entire. And I see you're saying in the chat it was already submitted to the entire SCI. So we've all got it in our mailboxes, if we haven't had a chance to read it yet. And I think it's well worth the read. It was some very good analysis of that research as well. And even though it was a very small body, I think we can all agree that the analysis is pretty solid. So I'll let Mary and then Amr speak, and then we'll wrap this segment up. Please, Mary.
Thanks, Ron. And not that this should hold anything up, but prior to sending off the suggested amendments to the GNSO Council, one thing that the SCI might want to think about, if you look down the agenda here and the number of potential changes that you may end up suggesting either to the GNSO Working Group guidelines or perhaps to the GNSO operating procedures, is to give the at least the chair of the council, or perhaps through Avri as the new liaison, some sense of the types of changes, well, not the types, but the fact that there may be some proposed changes, and to the extent possible, packaging them at the same time. It may not be possible for this particular issue because it sounds like this is pretty much good to go, whereas a possible review of the GNSO guidelines consensus levels may take a longer time, but it might, I think, be helpful to the council to know to expect a possible, you know, two amendments to be suggested within this time frame, for example, so that it doesn't, over the course of the next year, appear like the SCI is, you know, sending, you know, three or four potential amendments and either engendering some sense of confusion or questions as to the timing of some of those submissions. I realize there are counselors on this group, but I just wanted to raise it as something that, to the extent possible, the SCI might want to consider doing.
Good points, Mary, and well taken. Amr.
Hi, this is Amr. Just one last comment on this. And there were, if I understand correctly, 8 entries to the self-assessment prior to Mikey's second round of reminding everyone to fill it out, and 2 more, which would make 10, and that's probably more than half of the participants who were regular participants on this working group. And but I was left with a few impressions about this topic in the past, and one is that we also wanted folks who are not active on the work group to fill this out if possible. And the second is the actual feedback on the self-assessment questionnaire, which I thought was the primary target of this whole endeavor at this point. And we only got 2 of those in total. Those are just my only thoughts on whether or not that we would want to wait for a little bit more. But either way, I would be fine, and I just wanted to say that. Thanks.
Thanks for bringing that to the table, Amr, and it's a very valuable contribution. I think that knowing, you know, on the how many times we've asked that particular working group to please respond, I'm of like mind with Ken. Let's not beat a dead horse. People would have if they wanted to by now. But what I would say, and I think what you're alluding to is very helpful, is that when we send this over to council, we might well say that we would like to continue to track or continue to run that part of the self-assessment, that a review of the questionnaire itself, the survey itself, for the next 2 or 3 or 4 working groups, just to make sure that the data that we anticipate is going to come out of that, in fact, matches what our anticipation is, so that we can refine the document. I think that would be a very valuable contribution to making sure that what we're sending over is applicable. But I would quickly also add that historically what we had was nothing. So we've got to start somewhere, and this is as good a start as any, and that's the way to go forward. So thank you, Amma, for your support of that. And recognizing that Ken has the documentation ready to go, what I'm going to recommend is that we ask Julie to send around the all of the motion, the changes, the red line markup that Ken's done and so forth to the entire committee so that on our next call we can affirm that we're in support of this and we're ready to ship it to the council. And hopefully we can get it to them early enough for their meeting, and if not, for the January meeting, and if not, then they could certainly pick it up at the following meeting. But that would be the way I would like to go. I see Julie's hand, but before I recognize her, if any members have anything to say against what I've just suggested or have another idea, please put your hand up. Julie, you're recognized.
First of all, I would like to just ask Ken to go ahead and send to the list what he's prepared, since he has it and can find it. I don't know where it is, so, and he's agreed to do that. The other point I would like to echo again is the point that Mary made, and I want to be more specific about it. In Buenos Aires, the GENOSO Council specifically asked the SEI to consider packaging and grouping changes to the GNSO Council operating procedure rather than sending changes, you know, here's a couple 1 month, here's some more in another couple of months, and so on. Because every time there are changes to the GNSO Council operating procedures, you know, that those changes have to go out for public comment, that, you know, and there may be then reply comments and so on. And, you know, that takes, you know, a couple of months, depending. And also, you know, so it might just be a little less fatiguing on, you know, on the council and on the public in general, and perhaps a little bit more consistent to take, you know, to wait until there are, you know, a number of changes that are teed up and provide them all together to the council. And I'll note that on resubmitting a motion, we've got some significant language that will now go to that, you know, constituencies and stakeholder groups have been looking at that may be very well close to also presenting to the council. And so the SEI may consider sending a couple of things as a package, both the working group guidelines, because that is changes to the GNSO council procedures, and maybe the resubmitting a motion if that's close as well. So I just wanted to reemphasize that point.
Thank you, Julie, and I'm in full agreement with that. I think the entire committee probably is, because it's quite clear we do not want to see this activity that we're doing, this fine-tuning, continually bog down the council and force them back to do so again, yet more changes. So I agree with all of that. What I was suggesting is we send this over, and maybe it can't happen in the way I'm seeing it, but I thought we would send it over so they can actually look at it and see what we're doing and just park it, put it in the box, and then they can take the decision, okay, we've got enough of these things now, let's just make these changes. Because I agree also that the resubmitting the motion, which we're going to get into next, is probably ready to go after this meeting. But I would be loath to kind of stack stuff up on our side, then ship it all over, and then they've got to deal with all of it. I'd prefer if we could send it over kind of piece by piece, saying, you pick the time. Maybe it's June that you're going to implement all these things. That's fine, but we're going to do our work. We're going to hand them off to you. Some of the things that we do also have to go for public comment from time to time, and I'm not sure which of those is that, but asking staff, is there any reason why we couldn't send this over to them and let them know that they then can collect these things and change the operating procedures as and when they're ready? Isn't our job just to work these things through and then hand them back and then they take that decision? Julie.
Actually, Ron, I need to look back at the procedures, but I'm pretty sure that, and Wolf or can correct me if I'm wrong, that the SEI has the ability to send out the suggested changes to the operating procedures for public comment, collect those comments, and then package everything up to go to the council. It's been a while since we've done some of these changes. I think it was in June was the last time that there were changes to the operating procedures,
and I'll take the action to check on how that was done. But I think that the SEI can do this, in which case there would be a step prior to sending these things to the council, and that is that the SEI would redline multiple changes to the operating procedures. These might apply then to the working group of self-assessment and then maybe also resubmitting a motion, send that out for public comment, get those comments back, maybe amend those changes as necessary, and then send the package on to the council.
That's a very helpful clarification. Perfect. So that's how we'll do it then. This item, as we stand today, is ready to go. We'll bring it back on the table on our January call, hopefully we'll bring it on the table with our next item. So with that, I'm going to close this out, and we move on then in our agenda to the very next item, and that is resubmitting a motion. Greg has joined the call. Thank you, Greg, for getting on board, and I'll turn this over to you, my friend.
Thank you. I think the last that I think happened was that on December 4th, after our December 3rd meeting, I sent around a revised version of the addressing the resubmission of a motion document. I don't think there were actually any comments other than one from Jen Wolf that she thought said this looks really good and accurately captures what was discussed. So
thank you, Greg. And I can tell you that we've taken it internally to the BC, and we have also got positive feedback from there. Is there anyone on the call that has anything opposed to what we've addressed? What we're suggesting is a proposed rule to address resubmission of a motion.
Juan, can I speak? But I'm not on the Adobe. What will we speak?
Oh, please go ahead, Wolf Ulrich. You have the floor.
Greg, thanks very much for the text and we also from the ISPs, we support that.
The only thing I was just checking with one document just before the meeting.
Wolf, something's gone wrong with your speaker. Sorry, we went all muffled there. Can you try again?
Can you hear me?
Much better. That's it. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay, I was just checking again the document just before the meeting, and I wonder whether that is correct. So I found we were discussing last time the word table, or it was tabled instead of deferred, I think so, and I couldn't find that that you changed that from table to deferred. Was there a certain reason from your side?
If you look at the document that I sent December 4th, which says I have attached a clean and track changes versions of the revised proposal on resubmission of a motion, reflecting yesterday's discussion. If you see that email, the word tabled was changed to deferred.
Okay, so then
under B4, there are limitations and exceptions. Under B4, that's specifically what we're talking about. And Wolf, I'm seeing it says because it was deferred or withdrawn, and the word tabled has been removed.
Okay, so then that sounds okay, because I couldn't find that in my document, so maybe I missed that. Thanks very much.
Excellent.
I'll resend it to the list just in case it's gotten, you know, submerged somewhere.
Thank you, Greg. So then, again, I see no one objecting to the fact that we can put this one in the same box as we just put the working group self-assessment, and that is ready to go, and we'll now take the next steps to implement that. Anyone opposed? Thank you, Greg, and also to all of your colleagues in the ISPs for doing this good work. Julie, I see your hand up. Please go
You're
ahead.
Welcome.
So, Ron, it's not clear to me, and perhaps I've missed it. I know Greg sent the language around to the list. I know that you requested that people circulate this language in their stakeholder groups, constituencies. Do we have confirmation from everyone that their groups have accepted this language?
So maybe we can have a show of hands that we support. Jennifer has dropped off the call, but everyone else here, show of hands, is your constituency in agreement with this language? I Greg is hands up, and as is the BCs.
I'm not on the Adobe. We're already speaking, so but I can confirm.
Very good. All right. All constituencies are not represented. The registries and registrars are here. Thomas, that's you, if I'm not mistaken. And registries are missing, but I think we've got enough confirmation of this to take it forward.
This is Julie. I'm sorry, I should raise my hand, but do we not need to have full consensus to bring something forward? That is, we would need to have at least no objections from the registries. Should we reach out to our registry rep?
Yeah, I'm as frustrated, I think, as you are, Julie, that the registries choose not to participate. And I'm inclined to agree with you that we should get their approval on this. So if you could send out a message to them specifically, copying the rest of the group, saying, could you please confirm that you're good to go with this language, because all of the constituencies have confirmed, and we cannot move forward until you do so.
I note in the chat, this is Greg Shatton, that Thomas notes that he is actually not the registrar rep, he's NCA.
Right, yeah. I see that also. Thank you, Greg. And so just to make that point clear, Julie, if you could please be very specific that we have full agreement from all of the other constituencies, and they were lacking, theirs are lacking, and we need to have that so we can move it forward. Amr and then Mary. Amr, please.
Actually, though, let me just speak to that quickly, Ron. Our registrar representatives are James Bladell and Jennifer Staniford. I have not heard from either of them that the registrars have accepted this, so I will need also to go to them.
Thank you very much. And actually, I wanted just to, before Amr, pardon me for stepping back in, Marie Larray asked a very good question, and she says, I'm new, are we representing our constituency, and as such, our approval is enough, or do we need to consult our members each time? The answer is, for our part, Angie Graves and I are the representatives for the BC, and what our job here is to try to use common sense and knowing that how the BC is guided by its charter and by its bylaws to fulfill that exercise. We do not take back everything that we discuss here to the SCI. We take back the resolutions and the things that we've been able to resolve, and we also take the active work activities, and we invite there the BC's comments. But when it comes to these various elements that we discuss here, in many cases, we do not take it back to the full BC, because we deem it to be something that is our responsibility to resolve on behalf of the constituency. However, each one here is guided by different rules, and the IP constituency are very specific about this. So Anne and Greg were very diligent in taking everything back to that constituency on this particular element. So that's my understanding, Marie Larray. Amr, please go ahead.
This is Amr. I just wanted to point out that apart from the registries, the non-commercial stakeholder group is also not represented on this call. We have primary reps for the NCSG as well as two primary reps for each of the constituencies. And so although Avri did send a note out on the NCSG list and there were no objections to this at all, I just thought for the sake of procedure, probably should have her confirmation as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. And Julie, I'm sure, will note that. Mary, please go ahead.
Thanks, Ron, and thanks, everybody. Just two quick points. First, about the confirmation, and as Julie notes, full consensus currently is still required. So if I could also suggest that in addition to reaching out specifically to the registry and registrar representatives, that a note be sent to the whole mailing list, meaning one of those notes that basically say, you know, please let us know if you have an objection by a date certain. This was basically a consensus call to the mailing list. That might be helpful for recording purposes, if nothing else. And then secondly, with Marie Larray, with your question, I think as Ron's and Anna's answers have shown, that does depend on each constituency and stakeholder group, how it's chartered, and what its operating principles are.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary. So I'm going to recommend that we put a date certain of January 8th. That will allow people to have this time during the Christmas period, but after the new year, to get back to us post-haste on this matter. And so, Julie, if you could use the date certain of January 8th, which is a Wednesday, for anyone who is opposed to this going forward to the council and all the processes that we've described. Thank you. We're coming up on 3 minutes before the hour. Waiver exception is the next item, and then the voting by email. I apologize, but I'm at a loss who was responsible for the waiver exception discussion when we assigned that. I think Aubrey might have been one person on that group as well. Does anyone know who we assigned that to in BA?
This is Julie Hedlund. So for the waiver exception, I don't have an indication of who is running that particular item. For the voting by email, Avery and Thomas were working on an approach, and Thomas sent some language prior to this call. Oh, I see that Amr has noted in the chat that it's Marie, Laure, and Mikey who are working on that item. That is the waiver exception. Everyone, you've probably noticed in the chat, this is Julie Hedlund, that Ron has been dropped from the call. So we'll wait for him to get back on for a moment.
Ron should be back on the call now. This is Glenn.
Glenn, in the chat, this is Julie, he said he's still having trouble getting back in. I know he's showing up as in the call. Ron, are you on the call?
Okay.
He has actually asked Wolf Ulrich Knobin if he can take over the call. Wolf, would you be able to do that? And he also asked that we should set a date for our next meeting.
So, well, it's Wolf Ulrich speaking, yes. So, where we are. Yeah, are we just about to set a date for the next meeting because we are on the hour, at the hour here?
This is Julie Hedlund. I just would note that Marie Laure has her hand up, but
yes.
I think she's also not on the call. They're dialing out to her. Perhaps I can suggest something for the next meeting. If we were going on 2 weeks, which I think we have tried to do, that, of course, would put us at the 31st of December, which I don't think anybody wants for a meeting time.
Party.
Yeah, we could make it a party. So we could suggest the 7th or the 14th as possible dates. If we are asking, for instance, for people to come back with a response on the consensus call for resubmitting a motion on the 8th, then perhaps we would want to defer the SEI meeting to the 14th. Does anybody have any thoughts?
Is Marie still on the phone, or because she has raised her hand?
Yes.
Marie, you would like to talk to us, please?
Well, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know whether because we are is this call supposed to finish at it's just a 1 hour call, or are we going on?
It's a 1 hour call.
Because we are 2 minutes after the hour. I mean, it's not my business, but if we're going to start talking about, you know, the waiver, I don't know whether there will be enough time to do it. The same happened last time, actually. We were.
Thank you.
So
yes.
Shall we start talking about it, or we leave it for, I mean, the upcoming call? I don't know.
Hello, Marie, Larray, and everyone. The operator got me back on the call. It's Ron. Thank you for your patience. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm back with you now.
I'm having the exact same problem as you are. That's weird.
Oh, well, God bless us. No, Tom, sorry. It's after the hour, so what I wanted to do was to bring this call to a conclusion and recommend we have we pick this up, the waiver exception and the voting by email and the new item that's been added, so that's 7, 8, 9 on the agenda on our next call. And I'm also wondering if, Marie Larray, you would like to have someone support you to work on this waiver exception.
Yes.
For the operating procedures, because I think you're on your own on that one now, correct?
Yes, I've been left without my teammate.
Oh, how unfortunate. How unfortunate.
Yes.
Okay, so listen, then what we'll do is we'll ask Julie to put out a note to the group asking to get some support for you for that work, that subgroup work. That would be very helpful.
Thank
you for that. So I think then... what we need to do now is just establish that next meeting. And I thought I heard Julie suggest about the 14th of January. Is there anyone who has a problem with that? And the thinking goes like this. As much as I would like to get the stuff to the council, we won't meet that date because they won't have enough lead time to get it on the agenda, I don't believe. But we've got enough work to do, in any case, to sort out on our own, that they could pick this up in their February call. And so if everyone would agree, that would establish the 14th of January as our next meeting date. Amar, I see your hand. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I actually just wanted to ask a question about the waiver before we hang up the call. And
let's just get the call date established.
All right, sure. Okay, and then I can pass it.
In general, I'm fine
with the 7th or the 14th, whichever. Thanks.
Great. So let's establish the 14th, unless anyone has any reason not to. So we've got that done. And then if we could just take a quick minute then, Amar, to please ask your question regarding the waiver exception.
Yeah, I was hoping, I think I brought this up on the previous call. I was hoping that before we discussed this, that a little bit of context could be added as to what the problem is. I remember reading an email from Mikey with a description of an incident in Durban where Jonathan was asking, from the GNSL Council, was asking for asking why we need a waiver. But there really was no context on what the actual situation was. I just think it would be helpful in assessing how useful it would be. So if that could be provided, I'm not sure who would. Maybe somebody from staff could help out with this. But I would personally appreciate it because it would give me more of an understanding of what it is we're actually talking about. Thanks.
Hi, this is Julie Hedlund. I just want to note that we did staff did prepare a backgrounder on the item that did include information as to how the item came up. I'll resend that, and then if you have further questions, we'll be happy to try to address them.
Right, I would add to that. Thank you, Julie, and thanks for the question, Amar. We had asked, we basically have moved to a new format, and it's noted in our charter that when we are asked to look at something, that it comes in a specific form. So if you look at our charter, you'll see the questions that are being asked, and staff now uses that form, if you will, to prepare and present the issues for the SCI membership to review. So that's one part. And the second part is that we established in... saw is that we would have small subgroups, two or three people that would actually kind of go off and chew on that subject for a little bit and try to, again, bring a little more context, a little more deeper thinking to it, and then bring that to the group, and then we could start working on the result of their foundational work, if I can call it that. So that's really the way we want to approach it going forward. And I think that that will help all of us getting a little bit more meat on the bones when it comes to these things. So that's it. So with that then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to take any more of our time other than to say thank you all very much for the always helpful and good deliberations. It's really, I can't stop saying it, but this is one of the nicest committees to work on. It's real collaborative, and I enjoy it immensely. And I would like to then just say, before we close the recording, to wish everyone a very happy and peaceful and safe holiday period, and look forward to picking all of this up again with you in 2014. So unless there's any other thoughts or comments, please bring them to the table now under any other business. Hearing none, I would say again, thank you very much, and a very happy birthday to Glenn de Saint-Géry whenever it may happen in the very near future. All the best, everyone. Bye for now. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
Thank you very much, Ron.